Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Troubleshooting for WebSphere Adapter for IBM iSeries. Today's presenters are Adrian Lee, Jeffrey Dare, and Nagarjuna Surabhasina. Adrian was a system engineer that coded system APIs for the iSeries system for over 10 years. She has been working in WebSphere support for the past 6 years. She works closely with the development team in order to improve product quality and to ensure client satisfaction. Jeffrey is a developer with the IBM India Software Lab. He is currently working on development and customer support for the IBM iAdapter and JTAGS adapter. He has about 2 years of experience working with various Java technologies. Nagarjuna is a developer with the IBM India Software Lab. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Adrian, Jeffrey, and Nagarjuna.
Thank you, Joseph. Okay, good morning, everyone. So let's start over with the presentation. So today's presentation is looking into the troubleshooting for the WebSphere adapter for IBM i. So here we'll give you some pointers to troubleshoot the adapter, like whenever you face issues into it, and like what you can do to resolve that. So Joseph, can you move to the second slide? Here we can see the agenda for today's presentation. So we'll start with the introduction to this topic, then with the troubleshooting for the WebSphere adapter for IBM i, and then we'll conclude with a demo for the key data queue in the IBM i adapter for both indoor and outbound operations. Now can we move to the slide number 3? Yeah. Okay, so before I start with the troubleshooting, so let me give you a very brief introduction to the IBM i adapter. So IBM i adapter is actually used for exchange of information from the SCA components to the IBM i system. So it exposes the functions in the IBM i as a service to all the external SCA applications. So basically the adapter supports both the inbound and the outbound operations for the adapter. And for the outbound, it supports both the data queues and also the executions of RPG, that's the report program generator, and the COBOL programs. So the IBM i adapter exposes all of this as an outbound operation. And for the inbound, it can actually listen to messages that come in the data queue. And so now, coming in back to the introduction for this presentation, So general debugging information for all adapters is listed here. All the information are actually traced out in the trace and system out logs. And for debugging the adapter, so we need this following information. That's the version information of the adapter. So that is actually provided in the ra.xml of the adapter, and also the project interchange. And if you actually hit into the issues when you're actually discovering the object, so that is your EMD, that's the Enterprise Metadata Discovery, that's your external service, then you would actually need to go to your workspace home, then /.metadata, and there's a file .log. So that log actually has all the information that actually you're doing when you're running your external service visit. So if you run into any issues, you may need to send that log for IBM to troubleshoot that. And basically, so the chances of failing in the discovery is pretty less. So most of the time, the customers face issues in the runtime. So whenever you face any issue for the IBM i adapter in the runtime, you first need to go to the system out logs or the trace logs that is stored in the profile log folder. So there you'll get all the basic information that you need. So basically, most of the times, the failure is like pretty simple. So something like there's a connection timeout or the username that you provided is wrong. So all of that you can actually clearly rectify by seeing the logs. And you can rectify it there itself. So even then, if you're not able to rectify any issue, then you need to collect all of these logs, and as the slide says, right, like set the trace value to com.idm.j2ca.is equal to all. So this actually logs out all the traces that comes from the IDMI adapter. So it will be easier for us to troubleshoot. So you need to send all of this log folder to the IDM support so that we can troubleshoot that. And also, it can enable the debug mode to get all the service traces. Can you move on to the next slide? Slide number 4. Yeah, so all the information that I provided to know is actually common for all the adapters. So even for IBM adapter, it applies. But specific information that we as the developers and the level 2 support would need for the IBM adapter is, so if you're actually working in data queues, you would need, like, how you created the data queue and, like, what command you use, and is it a LIFO or a FIFO or a key data queue with the key length. And if you are trying to execute an outbound operation to any of the programs, so that is the RPG, the COBOL, or the service program, then we would need the program source. If possible, if you're willing to share the program source, it's well and good. And also the compiled program file in a SAV test file. And also, as you know, that IDMI adapter uses the PCML for discovery, you would also need the PCML to generate the business objects for that. And also, you can actually go to the link that's provided here, that there's a TechNode for the must gather data for IDMI adapter. So this link actually says what all you need to gather in the for troubleshooting in IDMI, so such that it actually even explains what you need to gather for data queues, or if it's inbound, what you need to capture, and outbound, and everything. So this site actually clearly mentions all the things that you need to, all the things that you need to carry, all the things you need to send us to troubleshoot it. Can you go to the next slide? Yeah, so now we, so there were many defects that we had found in the adapter, and we had released many interim fix for that. So we would like to share some of the interim fixes and what are the issues that we had actually solved. So can you move to the next slide? So slide number 6. Yeah, so the most recent interim fix that we had released is the IDMI adapter throws an exception when it's having an array of structures. And inside that, there's an extra structure. So as you know, the adapter, the IDMI adapter supports structure. And inside structures, you can have a complex structure and with an array of structures or an array or a simple data type. But there was a case when an array of structures and inside an extra structure, the adapter was failing. So we had actually fixed that in the interim fix number 6. And so if you're facing the same problem, you can ask for IDM support for interim fix 6, and that has been solved in interfix 6. Can you move on to the next slide, slide number 7? Yeah. And also, IF 5 and 4 had many fixes that are fixed for the support of structures in IDMI adapter. And interim fix 6 had the most main support for encoding the parameters for RPG and COBOL programs. So, till interim fix 2, the IDMI adapter did not support encoding for the parameters in both the COBOL and RPG program. So we cannot actually send any characters in other encoding, such as your DBCS characters, and basically the adapter did not have support for the CCSID fields. So even though when the PCML was supporting, the adapter didn't support. So in IF3, we had actually provided support for that. So interim fix 3, you need to provide the CCSID in the PCMS file, so that will be picked up by the adapter, and that CCSID will be used to encode. Can we move on to the slide number 8? Yeah. So in interim fix 2, so there was a case where, so if an illegal character is actually passed from the adapter to the SCA, so it was actually throwing an error So it's actually getting serialized down the line, and there it was throwing an illegal XML character exception. So actually we wanted to catch that at the adapter level. So currently we are providing 4 options for the user to do that. So that option actually can be set during the external service wizard, or also can be set in the properties tab, or actually or also in the admin console of your WPS. So the 4 options are like, so either you can actually set the XML content for the beer content should not be validated at all, so that's the default, but it will go ahead and it will give an exception. So, or you can actually throw an exception if it contains, like if the BO, the content of the BO has any XML characters, or you can, if you select C, it will discard the XML characters and it will just send the characters that doesn't have. So suppose, for example, you have a character A, then an illegal character and a character B. So when you select C, the adapter will actually discard the middle characters and it will just send AB. So the illegal character is discarded and the processing of that message can be successful. And also there's another option where we say we'll escape sequence the characters and it will log and say that there was an illegal character there. Okay? And can you move on to slide number 9? Yeah, here, so when an user, we also provide a feature for having a business object prefix. So that's, so when this option is selected, so even this option has, the input has to be given in the external service wizard. So here the user gives any prefix that he wants to be prefixed with this business object. So that, so suppose he's giving a test, all his business objects generated will have a prefix text. So whenever he's, so in this prefix, we actually, when a user is selecting a BO prefix and runs our inbound, it was throwing an exception. So that we actually caught, and that was resolved in this interim fix. So yeah, this was all, this was a very brief summary for all the interim fixes and that was sent to the field for the IDMA adapter. So Joseph, can you move on to slide number 10? Yeah, and also, so many of the common issues and its resolution are actually released as a tech note for the IDMI adapter. So as you can see, we have listed down some, there are many tech notes, but these are the three important tech notes that we have listed here down. So the first one is, so sometimes the RPG program or the PCML file is actually not visible in the external service wizard. So that has resolved, and you can actually view that tech note if you are also facing the same issue. And also there's the second one is IBM adapter receives corrupted data when doing a get queue using an inbound. So yeah, if you're facing the same issue, you can actually see that tech note. And also the third tech note, adapter was not supporting the dynamic initialization of array. So when you view the tech note, you'll actually have the link to download the particular IFIC for that, and you can actually see the information. I will even have a workaround with the solution for that. So so all the tech notes will have the problem with the solution in that. Yeah, so can you move on to slide number 11? Yeah, so now we'll have the demo for the WebSphere adapter for in the key data queue. Yeah, so now I'll be giving out a live demo. So let me share my screen. Okay, so let me start. So as I said in the earlier of my presentation that you need to set the log level to finest. So that actually you need to do it in the admin console of the WPS. So let me show you like how to do that. So the logging and tracing are the basic ingredients of actually finding out any debug. So if even like the user can actually debug the issue and find out like if there is finding any issues in that. And so let me do that, yeah. And it's also helpful for us to determine the exact problem of that. So you need to right click on the server, or actually basically you need to launch your administrative console for your WPS. Okay, so in the administrator console of the WPS, you need to go to the troubleshooting. In that, logs and traces. In that, server 1. So this is basically the server that you have defined. And you need to go to chain log utils. So here, you need to specify the correct level of traces. So for all of the adapters, it's com.ibm.j2ca. So here, click on that. You can go to message and trace levels. You can click find it. So this will actually trace out all the traces that comes out of the IBM I adapter. And then you would need to save it. And also in the runtime. J2CA, click on J2CA, logs and traces, and finest. And then click OK. Okay, so now that's been done. So maybe let's go again and exactly. Okay, so that's done. Okay, so now let me log out of my admin console. Okay, so I already have the IBM I adapters RAR, so that's the resource file archive. So let me start the external service visit. And for this demo, so I'll be showing a key data queue outbound and a key data queue inbound. So let me start with the outbound. So outbound is basically where you want to post messages to the key data queue or you want to get any message from the key data queue. Okay, so for the outbound, basically the inputs for the key data queue would be basically the message key and the message. So that is for your put operation, and for your get operation, it's just the key. So let me start the external service. So I'll select the iSeries adapter. So I already have the iSeries adapter imported to my workspace. So I'll select that. I select the outbound operation. And here I would need to give the host name for the local for the IBM I server. You would also need to give the authentication details for that. And also you need to give the path where your data queues are located. So by giving the correct user libraries, you can actually directly go to that and search. So it will be more faster. So I'll do a run query. So this will fetch all the data queue that's present in jeff.lib. So as I said, it will be a key data queue. So when I hover over it, it will actually display me the details of that data queue. So it's saying that the key length is 10 and the maximum message length is 128. So I can click on that. And actually, I can even click on the details button to get the same message. So let me import that. So I have added that to the selected objects. And I click next. And this is the screen where you select the operations. So I select both the put queue and the get queue. And here you can even provide the data encoding that you want to provide. So currently I just use the default encoding. I would need to create a module to put my service in. So let me create the module. I name it as the outbound. Let me click finish. Okay, so now the service for the key data queue is done. So if I go to the properties tab, I can view the endpoint configuration for that. Yeah, so you can change the host name even from here. Okay, so now let me test the module that I created. So first I need to deploy that into my server. So you can watch all the things that's going on in the console of the WPS. Okay, so now it started. So let me do a test component on that. So whatever service that you implement, you can actually test it out by using the unit test, the testing client that is provided with the vid. So let me do a test on that. So first I'll be trying to put, then I'll do a get operation on that. So as it is a key data queue, we need to provide the message key. So for this, let me do the message key as 12345, and let me do let me type a message into this. I'll just do this. Yeah. So now let me invoke this. Yeah, okay. So now I even got the return object, so that the message was processed successfully. So so now we know that the message was actually put to the key 12345 in the key data queue with the name keyq.dtaq. So now I'll do another invoke. So now let me try to do a get queue. So in get queue, let me type in the same key. So now I must be able to get that message. Okay, so now we got that message. So now let me do another test. So let me do another get queue operation. So now as we don't have any message, so it should give us an false. So let's try that. Yeah, so this gave a fault. So let me show you that. Yeah, so it says that the specified key does not exist on the key data queue, and it even gives out an error code. So with this, actually, you can see if any message exists on the data queue or not. Like, so this is one test that you can actually do. So this was the normal outbound operation for the key data queue. And now let's go or do an inbound operation. So inbound operation is pretty tricky. So let me do that. And I'll explain on the concepts as and when I do the steps. So again, let me start. Let me start doing a module. So I'll name it inbound. So now here, let me do an external service. Let me select ICD. I need to select the RAR. Now I'll be selecting inbound. Again, I need to give the connection details. Okay, so now let me do next. Let me do a run query. So now again, let me select the same queue that I have selected for the outbound, so that I can use the outbound operation to put the messages. So basically, your inbound is, so the adapter will be listening to a queue, and it will be listening for messages in that queue. So if it is a key data queue, it will be listening to a messages in a particular key. So as and when a data is put to the inbound into the queue and the adapter is listening to that, it will post that as an event to the external SCA application. So whenever a message comes to the queue, the adapter actually polls from that. It will be polling to the queue, and it will fetch that message and deliver to the endpoint. So this is how the inbound works. So there's no operation basically. So it actually emits all the events that comes to the inbound. Yeah, and there are some queues that you need to set up before running your inbound. So the IDMI adapter has some prerequisites before actually you can run the inbound operation on it. So you need to set up a staging queue and a fail queue. So let me explain like what the staging queue and the fail queue does. Staging queue is a queue where the adapter uses as an intermediate queue where it will copy all the messages and the adapter pulls it from there. So this was done to facilitate the assured one's delivery to the endpoint. So we also as we know, the FIFO queue does not have a persistent model. That is, when you read, actually, it deletes it from the queue. So suppose if there is any communication gap, so if there is any communication error or anything that happens, then the message is actually lost. So the adapter cannot recover that. So we wanted to have a persistent model. But as we know that the key data queue is so we can actually do a peek on a key data queue. So there's another CL program that is actually shipped in with adapter. So the CL program job is actually to copy. So as you know, the CL, it's a control language script. So the basic function of the control language script is to copy the functions, messages from the poll queue to the staging queue. And these scripts are actually shipped in with the adapter. So when you get an adapter rack, so you'll have both the scripts and the adapter. So this staging queue has to be created with key, and both the staging queue and the fail queue should be a key data queue with key length 18. 18 is a predefined number that meet the adapter, that's the prerequisite for the adapter. So basically how the adapter runs is, whenever a message comes to the polling queue, the adapter calls the CL program. So the CL program actually copies the message from the poll queue to the staging queue. And it, as we know, the staging queue is now a key data queue. The adapter puts it with the timestamp and with the message. And the latest timestamp is, the CL program sends the latest timestamp to the adapter. And the adapter, based on its internal logic, it will fetch all the messages from the latest timestamp to the last, and it will pick up all the messages and it will be delivering to the endpoint. So now let me ask you, but all of this has to be created before you can actually run the inbound. So all of this, all the queues and the CL programs has to be installed and compiled before the inbound has to be run. So the key data queue I'll add it to the point, the key data queue, the staging queue and the fail queue has to be a key data queue with key length 18. And the fail queue is basically for all the events that was not delivered to the endpoint, all the messages will be actually put to the fail queue. So let me select all the staging queue. So I had actually put this staging queue.dtaq is a key data queue with length 18. And with the adapter, both the source and the PGM is shipped. So you can actually even see the source of the CL program. So if you're having the source, then you need to compile it and use it. Or you can actually even directly put the PGM directly into your system and use it. And as this is the key data queue, as I had said before, the key data queue, you need to specify a key. So the adapter will be listening to that particular key. And or if it is a non-key data queue, that is your normal FIFO or a LIFO queue, that you don't need to, the adapter will be directly listening to the queue. And even then, the CL program's job is to copy that message to the staging queue, and adapter goes to the staging queue and picks up the message. So the staging queue is actually basically for the assured one's delivery and the loss of messages that can occur during a communication loss. So now let me provide a key for this. So to simulate an inbound operation, I'll do a normal outbound. So outbound, I'll try to put a message into this key. And also there are many configurations that you can do. You can specify the poll, the poll interval, the poll quantity, and if there, in case there's a system failure, like how many times you need to, in how much time you need to retry, and the maximum retry. and you can select the type of delivery. And this was the one that I had told you earlier that we had fixed it in iFix2. So if you want to validate your illegal XML character, we can actually provide it here. And these are for the event persistence, and these are for the login. So these are the properties that you need to set in the inbound. It's for the inbound. Let me finish this. So for the inbound service, you would need an endpoint for that. To simulate an endpoint, let me just put a normal Java component and let me just implement that. So I'll wire our inbound interface to the Java component. And there'll be a notification for an add wire, so I'll click OK to that. And you need to implement that. So I need to right click on the Java component and do generate implementation. Now I click OK. And you can see, so this is the method where the init method is called. So in the Java component, I'll be just printing out the object that we get from our inbound. So there's a utility method in the adapter called adapter.boutils.serialize.serializeDataObject. So this will actually serialize any data object that comes to this. So here, in this case, it's actually the input, the inbound message that we get. So I'll save this component, and I'll also save this module. Now, to test this inbound, I need to first publish it to the server. So let me add that project to the server. Okay, so now the product, the module was added to the server. So now let me clean the console so actually you can see the message that we get to the inbound. So to put a message to the same queue, so let me do another outbound operation to that. So I'll just do a put operation to that. So you need to select the put queue in the operations tab. And in the message key, you need to provide the key. So actually, I copied the key that I have given in the inbound. So I'll just copy that. I'll just paste that. And I'll put any message. So I'll just do this is a test for the inbound. I'll post it. Okay, so now we can actually see. So as I told that I was just printing out the message that comes through my inbound to the SCA component. So I just printed out that message. So as you can actually see, so this is the message that I put, right? So this is a test for the inbound. So this was the message that was posted by the inbound service. So that was the message that was posted by this to the Java component. So in the Java component, as you see, we just printed out that message that came through this data object. Okay, we're just serializing it. So that was what was actually found in this. So this ends the demo for both the inbound and the outbound for key data queue. So let me stop the sharing. Okay, so now that was the demo for the key data queue, IBMI adapter for key data queue, both inbound and outbound. So now let's go to slide number 12. Yeah, so this, we have listed out all the important websites that you can actually use for your support for the IBM, any IBM product. So there is a developer work and you can use all of this. And Joseph, over to you.
Thank you again, Jeffrey, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Courtney, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions at this time.
Thank you, Courtney. And at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.